You're listening to Deep Thoughts for Time, a part of the show where we bring you a quote or an idea that sparks conversation and inspiration. What's up, sweet people? This is Coach Riley. You're listening to the Forging Fury podcast. I'm here with my friend Michael Gray. Today we are diving into a segment called Deep Thoughts for Time. We are reading through a quote from a speech from Teddy Roosevelt. It is called The Man in the Arena.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Dude, that every time you read that, it's so solid of a quote. So this quote, guys, The Man in the Arena, comes from a 35-page long speech. It was actually given in Paris in April 1910, a year after actually being out of office. Theodore, or aka Teddy Roosevelt. I bet some people walked out of this speech and were ready to like go at some people, or at least go like get after something. Like, they were motivated after this for sure.
And it was the French, for crying out loud. It was in Paris.
They're hard
to
motivate at all, dude. Those people.
Then they let the Nazis take over, but that's another story.
Well, we've always had to save their asses. Let's not talk about that. That's a whole other episode.
Okay. You brought this quote to us. This is your quote. So why does it speak to you?
Well, this quote, I feel like this is the ultimate pregame quote. You could like get people riled up doing this. I mean, it just goes to show like you got to put yourself out there to either succeed or fail, and not seeing failure as a failure. Like, if you're going to do something, you really got to do it or just go for it. Like, not being kind of scared to try new things or even try anything at all. The first kind of line, the critic who counts, not the man who points out strong man stumbles. Like there's going to be haters along the way. There's going to be people that say you could have done it right or could have done it better, but it's not they're not the important people. They're the watchers. You want to be a doer, not a watcher.
Yeah. And I think that what's interesting is the critic is the one who gets all the airtime, gets all the attention. So it's easy to, you know, look at cable news nowadays. I mean, those people who are talking heads, what are they? Are they the doers or are they the critics?
They're probably just watching. Like, these people, the guy that he's talking about, the man in the arena, is a doer. He's going to go out there, swing and miss, or he's going to swing and hit a home run, or he's going to swing and miss, and he's going to be all right with whatever outcome happens. I love the quote, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. That just like really gets after it. Like, you're going to like, if you're really in this, like, there's going to be some blood involved. There's going to be some sweat. There's going to be some hard times. Like, that's the person who gets the credit. I get a sense of urgency from this quote of like, either you're in or you're out. It's like, you got to do something either 150% or like, don't do it at all. I read a book called Raise Your Game by Allen Stein Jr. He's a basketball trainer, and he talks about, if you don't lose the ball, you weren't going fast enough. Like, if you're learning this drill or learning this technique or learning your jump shot or just practicing anything, if you're not failing, you're not getting better.
Right.
If you're not putting yourself in a position or pushing yourself to your limits where there is failure, then you didn't try hard enough. Which this can be taken 10 different directions, I think. But like, I think he's really just talking about your effort, like what you really give into something. It's like, that's what's really gonna, and not being attached to the outcome, like win or lose, like you're gonna try your hardest because you know great enthusiasms, the great devotions. He's spending your time in a worthy cause. Like he kind of it's not outcome based, but it's like process goals, I think, is what he's getting at there too a little bit. He's almost like, the things that you've picked up along the wins and the losses are more important than the outcome itself. So like, if you win or lose, there's probably some stuff you learned along that way that was good for you.
Yeah, when you were talking about learning how to dribble or learning how to shoot and losing the ball, you keep doing that. And as time goes on, you get better to the point where you're able to control the amount of losses you're doing. Like once you become an expert, once you get the, as Malcolm Gladwell talks about, 10,000 hours of practice in something. Once you get that, you can learn how to control yourself a little bit better. So you don't have to lose the ball as often, because that's the last thing you want as an NBA player, dribbling hard and losing the ball all the time. You'd get drafted by the Suns that way.
Well, you'd be playing in Phoenix.
That's right.
That's a good summer. Yeah, what grabs me with this quote as well is that who at worst, if he fails, at least he fails daring greatly. So if you fail, you had full effort, full victory. Like you went for it. You're going after it. You know what you want, and you're making yourself vulnerable to go for that goal and not be afraid of the outcome. Like daring greatly is such a great, great two word summary of like, you got to go for it. Daring greatly. I like it. And then the last part of the sentence that I really like, so at his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat, which I mean, that for me, that just goes into like, would you rather tried and never did, or like never did and never tried?
You could live your life and you could be safe and you could feel safe all throughout your life. But at the end, you don't know the highs. You don't even know the lows, because you didn't want the lows. You couldn't get the highs, which is so
living in that comfort zone.
Yeah, the comfort zone's a big deal. And I know that's something we want to talk about here in the future, getting out of the comfort zone.
Nothing good ever happens there.
Nothing good. So if you take this quote, I mean, obviously, this is a podcast largely centered around CrossFit. How would you apply it to CrossFit? And then later on, we can talk about how you'd apply it to just life in general. How does CrossFit come into this?
Well, I think it really lends itself to just be like being disciplined, especially with like learning new skills or putting yourself out there to try new things. Like, if you're going to try something, you're going to be bad at first and you're going to fail and you're going to be okay with that. And like, but being the man in the arena, being the person that's willing to try new things and, you know, things like, even if it not even comes across it, if you're willing to go try to do ballet or something just along those lines.
Who would do that?
Weirdos only. or even like a salsa class, or learn a new language, or get yourself out of your comfort zone. You're going to learn things and you're going to come out on the other side with achievement and with failure either way, but you're going to be taking away something. For life, I mean, this, like we kind of got into it a little bit earlier. This can be, really anything that you want to learn. You want to be learning new things and be okay with failure. Like being not seeing failure as negative, but more of seeing failure as an opportunity to learn or an opportunity to get better. So when it comes to like failing or getting some feedback that you didn't enjoy or stuff like that, this is just an opportunity for you to learn. If you get hit in the head with a stick and you know what direction the stick's coming from, you can dodge it the next time.
Yeah.
I'm having like a Lion King, like Rafiki moment where you learn not to get hit with a stick anymore.
Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see?
Do you think that there's specific areas in life where we don't have enough doer of deeds doing things? I mean, like for my life, I'm kind of a father and a husband. That's kind of what I'm doing. Like, it's easy for me to not do the things I need to do as a dad, whether it's, you know, help my son with his Latin homework or something. You know, I'm busy with work. I'm doing something, but when it talks about the great devotions, I mean,
that is a pretty good great devotion. I was going to say that you're being the man in the arena by being a great father, I think.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm being a great father, but what I'm saying is like, there's different devotions to have. And sometimes those devotions come in conflict with each other and it's kind of hard. You have to know what things are important. And, you know, you hear all the time about dads who are always at work who say, man, I spent too much time there. My kids just grew up without me. And that's something I am cognizant to try to avoid. It's hard because, you know, you want to achieve at work. So you're driving there and then you're driving at the gym and then you're driving at home. And it's just, for a guy, at least for me, it's hard to keep up, I think.
What would be like a sign? Well, I mean, you've got three great kids. Like you're doing the great devotion. Like you're doing that. Like, what kind of validation are you seeking to know that your great devotion is great?
Well, you won't know, right? And well, you won't know until the end.
Well, until they're 18 and they run for president.
Yeah, right now I just have the dust, sweat, and blood.
Yeah, exactly.
On.
Well, but, that just goes to encourage the grind, like, especially, I mean, when it comes to being a dad or being a good partner or being a good friend, like, that is a devotion. That's something that you can, it's a worthy cause, I think. It's like, it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a grind for eventual, like, long-term, short-term, like, goals. Like, so you're putting in work towards anything. It's going to take time for that flower to blossom into something beautiful. And that's the great devotion. That's the, you know, the worthy cause. It's going to have great enthusiasm. You're going to err. You're going to, like, in any relationship, you're going to be able to do that. And I just think that's a worthy cause. It's like, you know, you got to grind for something to shine for something.
Ooh, let's say that again.
You got to grind for something to shine for something.
I remember you said that like the third week I knew you.
Yeah, grind. You got
to grind to shine.
Yeah, you got to grind before you shine. That's always, that's pretty much what he's talking about. It's like, it's not always going to be pretty. You're marred by dust, sweat, and blood. But I mean, you know, it's a worthy cause. You know, you're going for what you want. And it's, for me, it's just like, I'm want to go get whatever I want. And if I lose, which I'm coming off a big L, I've got lately, like, this is a huge quote for me. Cause I mean, I'm peeling myself up off the floor, like, as of late. And this is just like, you can get back up and you can, like, there's something here to be taken from this.
What do you think the problem is with people not being willing to fail? Why is that so hard for people?
I feel like we live in a society now with people where we only want to show the wins. We don't want to show the losses. Like, our social media is a highlight reel. We want to show everything, the PRs, the beautiful, happy families, the relationships that are perfect. And we don't ever, it's not okay. It's not okay for us to show our failures. It's not okay, because that's what people see. We don't want people to see us failing. We want to see us people winning. But inevitably, if you ask any athlete, if you ask any person in a relationship, you ask anyone that's a father, there's tons of losses, there's tons of bad things that happen, and like, it's inevitable. But you don't want to seem like you're out here failing. Like, that's not what you want to put out on the internet. That's
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
We live in a time where we only put our highlights, and they're everywhere. And I mean, you log into Facebook or Instagram and like, you're only seeing highlights, and you're like, man.
And you're not seeing the work and the grind that it took to get
or
there.
Or like, you're like, wow, I'm not living this highlight that they're living. You only put on the internet what you want people to see. So I think it would be more beneficial to people to put, yeah, me and my spouse had a fight today, or me and I went to work today and I didn't get the feedback that I wanted, or today at the gym, it just wasn't my day. Like, we need more of that. We need more like day-to-day real life things.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, if I can just tell a little story. We had, when we were first married, before Heidi and I had kids, we had a couple of other couples come over to our house just to hang out. And this one couple that we know, that we're very good friends with now, they walked in the door and you could just tell something was off with them. There was just something was going on. And as we sat together, we're like, guys, what's happening? And my friend, his name is Brent, he started saying, oh, we got in an argument about this. And they didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to talk about it because, you know, they came into two other very happy couples. And as soon as they said, hey, here's the thing we're struggling with that we're fighting over right now, all the guys were like, oh, dude, I totally know. My wife and I just had that argument yesterday. And the girls are like, oh, what, you know, here's what we said about that. And there was some degree of connection, because you think you're alone in your struggles, but because you don't talk about them, you're going to continue to think you're alone. And well, our relationship's struggling. So there's the other people. They're obviously doing a fine job. So it must be something wrong with us. But once they brought that out in the open, it was kind of funny because we all kind of picked sides. All the guys were like, yeah, we identified with the guy, and the girls identified with the girls. And we just saw this is just normal.
If there's one thing that unites people, it's struggle, because we all know it.
Yes.
Totally. I think that, yeah. I mean, you know how many like friendships have started over a bad relationship with a guy or a girl, like, yo, yeah, he wasn't a good, like this and that. And like, they become best friends because over like an issue of some sort, like,
yeah,
that there's like, oh, you struggle with that. Well, I struggle with this too. And like, we now share that. Now we're best friends. And I think that double back to CrossFit, like, we're all in there struggling together. We're all in there sweating, and like, we're all hating life together. And that's like the glue that holds everybody together in CrossFit, is like that struggle, that pain, that, I mean, that 18th, 19th wall ball, 19.1 that we all know, that, ooh, that brings us closer together than more than anything. And I feel like that's the environment that that we need more of is the strength and struggle.
Yeah.
Strength and struggle.
Watch people struggling. It you can identify with that.
I think it brings down a lot of those walls though. Like if you like the camaraderie and like the, like going shoulder to shoulder with people in like an exercise form, man, that'll melt down any walls you have up like instantly. Like you're like, oh, we're best friends. We rode that 2K together. Or like we did that really hard workout together. Like I feel closer to people in the gym that I've gone like gone to war with, or like gone to war on a really bad workout.
Right.
Like I'll leave there thinking like, yeah, that person's going to be the best man at my wedding. Like that guy. Yeah,
he's invited to your birthday.
Exactly. You like to say? Definitely invited to my birthday. It definitely melts those walls of division, I think.
Well, Riley, I love this quote that you brought. I think it's a great one. And for all you listening out there, if you want to look it up again, it's kind of a long one. You can rewind and hear us recite it, or you can look it up again. It's called The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt. It's a very popular one. And
the man, the myth, the legend, Teddy Roosevelt.
The man, the myth, the legend. And we'd love to hear what you think. How did this quote inspire you? Did it make you think? Is there something that you like or are bothered about it? We'd love to hear your responses to this.
Did it make you want to try something new? Did it make you want to go towards your true passion? Did it make you want to do something that you haven't been doing? That's what this quote did for me.
Yeah, you can always come up and talk to us about that. You can leave a little comment on our Instagram page, whatever you'd like to do to just let us know how this quote hit you. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to see you fail while daring greatly.
And we won't be a critic, I promise.
We have too many haters.
Because of all the people that can't be a critic, I definitely cannot be a critic.
Well, we're opening ourselves up to a lot of critics here with this podcast.
That's right.
That's what you do. You put yourself out there and there's going to be critics, and we got to be all right with that.
Yeah.
But just be nice.
Be nice, please.
Thanks for joining us. This is Coach Riley from the Forging Fury podcast with my co-host, Michael Gray. We'd love to get a 5-star review from you guys. So if you're liking what you're hearing, give us a review, leave a comment. We're trying to reach more people here. You, your friends, your mom's friends, and your grandma's friends. So leave us a 5-star review. Love you guys. Mean it.